the 12th of April. Up, and after my wife had dressed herself very fine in her new laced gown, and very handsome indeed, Will Howe also coming to see us, I carried her by coach to my Uncle White's, and set her down there, and Will Howe and I to the coffee-house, where we sat talking about getting of him some place under my lord of advantage, if he should go to sea. And I would be glad to get him secretary, and to out-creed if I can, for he is a crafty and false rogue. Thence a little to the change, and thence took him to my Uncle White, where dined my father, poor melancholy man, that used to be as full of life as anybody, and also my aunt's brother, Mr. Sutton, a merchant in Flanders, a very sober, fine man, and Mr. Cole and his lady. But, Lord, how I used to adore that man's talk, and now methinks he is but an ordinary man. His son, a pretty boy indeed, but his nose unhappily awry. Other good company, and an indifferent and but indifferent dinner for so much company. And after dinner got a coach, very dear, it being Easter time, and very foul weather, to my lord's, and there visited my lady. After leaving my wife there, I and Will Howe to Mr. Paget's, and there heard some music, not very good, but only one Dr. Walgrave, an Englishman bred at Rome, who plays the best upon the lute that I ever heard, man. Here I also met Mr. Hill, the little merchant, and after all was done, we sung. I did well enough a psalm or two of Laws. He, I perceive, hath good skills and sings well, and a friend of his sings a good bass. Thence, late, walked with them two as far as my lord's, thinking to take up my wife and carry them home. But there being no coach to be got, away they went, and I stayed a great while, it being very late, about 10 o'clock, before a coach could be got. I found my lord and ladies and my wife at supper. My lord seems very kind, but I am apt to think still the worst, and that it is only in show, my wife and lady being there. So home, and find my father come to lie at our house, and so supped and saw him, poor man, to bed, my heart never being fuller of love to him, nor admiration of his prudence and pains heretofore in the world, than now, to see how Tom hath carried himself in his trade, and how the poor man hath his thoughts going to provide for his younger children and my mother. But I hope they shall never want. So myself and wife to bed. The 13th of April. Though late, past 12, before we went to bed, yet I heard my poor father up, and so I rung up my people, and I rose, and got something to eat and drink for him. And so, abroad, it being a mighty foul day, by coach, setting my father down at Fleet Street, and I to St. James, where I found Mr. Coventry, the Duke being now come thither for the summer, with a goldsmith, sorting out his old plate to change for new. But, Lord, what a deal he hath! I stayed and had 2 or 3 hours' discourse with him, talking about the disorders of our office, and I, largely, to tell how things are carried by Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis, to my great grief. He seems much concerned also, and for all the King's matters that are done after the same rate everywhere else, and even the Duke's household matters too, generally with corruption, but most indeed with neglect and indifference. I spoke very loud and clear to him, my thoughts of Sir John Minnis and the other, and trust him with the using of them. Then to talk of our business with the Dutch, he tells me fully that he believes it will not come to war. For first he showed me a letter from Sir George Downing, his own hand, where he assures him that the Dutch themselves do not desire, but above all things fear it, and that they neither have given letters of marque against our ships in Guinea, nor doth De Ruyter stay at home with his fleet with an eye to any such thing, but for want of a wind, and is now come out and is going to the Straits. He tells me also that the most he expects is that upon the merchants' complaints, the Parliament will represent them to the King, desiring his securing of his subjects against them. And though perhaps they may not directly see fit, yet even this will be enough to let the Dutch know that the Parliament do not oppose the King, and by that means take away their hopes, which was that the King of England could not get money or do anything towards a war with them, and so thought themselves free from making any restitution, which by this they will be deceived in. He tells me also that the Dutch states are in no good order themselves, differing one with another, and that for certain none but the states of Holland and Zeeland will contribute towards a war, the other reckoning themselves being inland, not concerned in the profits of war or peace. But it is pretty to see what he says, that those here that are forward for a war at court, they are reported in the world to be only designers of getting money into the king's hands. They that elsewhere are for it have a design to trouble the kingdom and to give the fanatics an opportunity of doing hurt. And lastly, those that are against it, as he himself for one is very cold therein, are said to be bribed by the Dutch. After all this discourse, he carried me in his coach, it raining still, to Charing Cross, and there put me into another. And I, calling my father and brother, carried them to my house to dinner. My wife keeping bed all day, she having those upon her. All the afternoon at the office with William Bodham, looking over his particulars about the chest of Chatham, which show enough what a knave Commissioner Pett hath been all along, and how Sir William Batten hath gone on in getting good allowances to himself and others out of the poor's money. Time will show all. So, in the evening to see Sir William Penn, and then home to my father to keep him company, he being to go out of town. And up late with him and my brother John, till past 12 at night, to make up papers of Tom's accounts, fit to leave with my cousin Scott. At last we did make an end of them, and so, after supper, all to bed. The 14th of April. Up betimes, and after my father's eating something, I walked out with him as far as Milk Street, he turning down to Cripplegate to take coach. And at the end of the street, I took leave, being much afeard I shall not see him here any more, he doth decay so much every day. And so I walked on, there being never a coach to be had till I came to Charing Cross. And there Colonel Froude took me up and carried me to St. James's, where, with Mr. Coventry and Povey, etc., about my Lord Peterborough's accounts. But, Lord, to see still what a puppy that Povey is, with all his show, is very strange. Thence to Whitehall, and William Coventry and I and Sir William Ryder resolved upon a day to meet and make an end of all that business. Thence walked with Creed to the coffee-house in Covent Garden, where no company. But he told me many fine experiments at Gresham College, and some demonstrating that the heat and cold of the weather doth rarefy and condense the very body of glass, as in a bolt head with cold water in it, put into hot water, shall first, by rarefying the glass, make the water sink, and then, when the heat comes to the water, makes that rise again. And then, put into cold water, makes the water, by condensing the glass, to rise. And then, with the cold, comes to the water, makes it sink, which is very pretty, and true. He saw it tried. Thence by coach home, and dined above with my wife by her bedside, she keeping her bed, those being upon her. So to the office, where a great conflict with Wood and Castle about their New England masts. So in the evening my mind a little vexed, but yet without reason, for I shall prevail, I hope, for the king's profit, and so home to supper and to bed. The 15th of April. Up and all the morning with Captain Taylor at my house, talking about things of the navy, and among other things I showed him my letters to Mr. Coventry, wherein he acknowledges that nobody to this day did ever understand so much as I have done, and I believe him, for I perceive he did very much listen to every article as things new to him, and is contented to abide by my opinion therein in his great contest with us about his and Mr. Wood's masts. At noon to the change, where I met with Mr. Hill, the little merchant, with whom I perceive I shall contract a musical acquaintance, but I will make it as little troublesome as I can. Home and dined, and then with my wife by coach to the Duke's house, and there saw The German Princess, acted, by the woman herself, but never was anything so well done in earnest, worse performed in jest upon the stage. And indeed the whole play, abating the drollery of him that acts her husband, is very simple, unless here and there a witty sprankle or two. We met and sat by Dr. Clark, thence homewards, calling at Madam Turner's, and then set my wife down at my Aunt White's, and I to my office till late, and then at 10 at night fetched her home, and so again to my office a little, and then to supper and to bed. The 16th of April. Up into the office, where all the morning upon the dispute of Mr. Wood's masts, and at noon with Mr. Coventry to the African House, and after a good and pleasant dinner, up with him, Sir William Ryder, simple povey, of all the most ridiculous fool that ever I knew to pretend to business, and Creed and Venati, about my Lord Peterborough's accounts. But the more we look into them, the more we see of them that makes dispute, which made us break off, and so I home, and there find my wife and Bess gone over the water to Halfway House, and I after them, thinking to have gone to Woolwich, but it was too late, so ate a cake and home, and thence by coach to have spoke with Tom Trice about a letter I met with this afternoon, from my cousin Scott, wherein he seems to deny proceeding as my father's attorney in administering for him in my brother Tom's estate. But I find him gone out of town, and so returned vexed home, and to the office, where late writing a letter to him, and so home and to bed. The 17th of April, Lord's Day. Up, and I put on my best cloth black suit, and my velvet cloak, and with my wife in her best lace suit, to church, where we have not been these 9 or 10 weeks. The truth is, my jealousy hath hindered it, for fear she should see Pembleton. He was here to-day, but I think sat so as he could not see her, which did please me. God help me, mightily though I know well enough that in reason this is nothing, but my ridiculous folly. Home to dinner, and in the afternoon, after long consulting whether to go to Woolwich or no to see Mr. Faulkner, but indeed to prevent my wife going to church, I did, however, go to church with her, where a young simple fellow did preach. I slept soundly all the sermon. And thence to Sir William Penn's, my wife and I, and there sat talking with him and his daughter, and thence with my wife walked to my Uncle White's, and there supped, where very merry, but I vexed to see what charges the vanity of my aunt puts her husband to among her friends, and nothing at all among ours. Home and to bed. Our parson Mr. Mills's own mistake in reading of the service was very remarkable, that instead of saying, "We beseech thee to preserve to our use the kindly fruits of the earth," he cries, "Preserve to our use our gracious Queen Catherine." The 18th of April. Up and by coach to Westminster, and there solicited William Joyce's business again, and did speak to the Duke of York about it, who did understand it very well. I afterward did without the house fall in company with my Lady Peters, and endeavoured to mollify her. But she told me she would not, to redeem her from hell, do anything to release him, but would be revenged while she lived, if she lived the age of Methuselah. I made many friends, and so did others. At last it was ordered by the Lords that it should be referred to the Committee of Privileges to consider. So I, after discoursing with the Joyces, away by coach to the Change. And there, among other things, to hear that a Jew hath put in a policy of 4% to any man to insure against a Dutch war for 4 months. I could find in my heart to take him at this offer, but, however, will advise first. And to that end took coach to St. James's, but Mr. Coventry was gone forth, and I thence to Westminster, where Mistress Lane was gone forth, and so I missed of my intent to be with her this afternoon. And therefore, meeting Mr. Blagrave, went home with him, and there he and his kinswoman sang. But I was not pleased with it. They singing me thought very ill, or else I am grown worse to please than heretofore. Thence to the hall again, and after meeting with several persons and talking there, I to Mistress Hunt's, where I knew my wife and my Aunt White were about business, and they being gone to walk in the park, I went after them with Mistress Hunt, who stayed at home for me, and finding them, did by coach, which I had agreed to wait for me, go with them all and Mr. Hunt and a kinswoman of theirs, Mistress Stewart, to Hyde Park, where I have not been since last year, where I saw the king with his periwig, but not altered at all, and my Lady Castlemaine in a coach by herself, in yellow satin, and a pinner on, and many brave persons, and myself, being in a hackney and full of people, was ashamed to be seen by the world, many of them knowing me. Thence in the evening home, setting my aunt at home, and thence we, and sent for a joint of meat to supper, and thence to the office at 11 o'clock at night, and so home to bed. The 19th of April. Up and to St. James's, where long with Mr. Coventry, Povey, etc., in their Tangier accounts, but such the folly of that coxcomb Povey that we could do little in it, and so parted for that time, and I to walk with Creed and Venati in the Physic Garden in St. James's Park, where I first saw orange trees and other fine trees. So to Westminster Hall, and thence by water to the Temple, and so walked to the Change, and there find the Change full of news from Guinea. Some say the Dutch have sunk our ships and taken our fort, and others say we have done the same to them. But I find by our merchants that something is done, but is yet a secret among them. So home to dinner, and then to the office, and at night with Captain Taylor, consulting how to get a little money, by letting him the Elias to fetch masts from New England. So home to supper and to bed. The 20th of April. Up and by coach to Westminster, and there solicited William Joyce's business all the morning, and meeting in the hall with Mr. Coventry, he told me how the Committee for Trade have received now all the complaints of the merchants against the Dutch, and were resolved to report very highly the wrongs they have done us, when God knows it is only our own negligence and laziness that hath done us the wrong, and this to be made to the house tomorrow. I went also out of the hall with Mistress Lane to the Swan at Mr. Herbert's in the palace yard to try a couple of bands, and did, though I had a mind to be playing the fool with her, purposely stay but a little while and kept the door open, and called the master and mistress of the house one after another to drink and talk with me, and showed them both my old and new bands. So that as I did nothing, so they are able to bear witness that I had no opportunity there to do anything. Thence by coach with Sir William Penn home, calling at the Temple for Law's Psalms, which I did not so much by being against my oath, buy, as only lay down money till others be bound better for me. And by that time I hope to get money of the Treasurer of the Navy by bill, which, according to my oath, shall make me able to do it. At home, dined, and all the afternoon at a committee of the chest. And at night comes my aunt and Uncle White and Nan Ferrers, and supped merrily with me, my uncle coming in an hour after them, almost foxed. Great pleasure by discourse with them. And so they gone, late to bed. The 21st of April. Up pretty betimes and to my office, and thither came by and by Mr. Venati, and stayed 2 hours with me. But Mr. Gordon did not come, and so he went away to meet again anon. Then comes Mr. Creed, and after some discourse, he and I and my wife by coach to Westminster, leaving her at Unthanks, her tailor's hall, and there at the Lord's house, heard that it is ordered that upon submission upon the knee, both to the house and my Lady Peters, William Joyce shall be released. I forthwith made him submit and ask pardon upon his knees, which he did before several lords, but my lady would not hear it, but swore she would post the lords that the world might know what pitiful lords the king hath, and that revenge was sweeter to her than milk, and that she would never be satisfied unless he stood in a pillory and demand pardon there. But I perceive the lords are ashamed of her, and so I away, calling with my wife at a place or two to inquire after a couple of maids recommended to us, but we find both of them bad. So set my wife at my Uncle White's and I home, and presently to the Change, where I did some business. And thence to my uncle's, and there dined very well, and so to the office. We sat all the afternoon, but no sooner sat, but news comes my Lady Sandwich was come to see us. So I went out, and running up, her friend, however, before me, I perceived by my dear lady's blushing that in my dining-room she was doing something upon the pot, which I also was ashamed of, and so fell to some discourse, but without pleasure, through very pity to my lady. She tells me, and I find true since, that the House this day hath voted that the King be desired to demand right for the wrong done us by the Dutch, and that they will stand by him with their lives and fortunes, which is a very high vote, and more than I expected. What the issue will be, God knows. My lady, my wife not being at home, did not stay, but poor good woman went away, I being mightily taken with her dear visit. And so to the office, where all the afternoon till late, and so to my office, and then to supper and to bed, thinking to rise betimes tomorrow. The 22nd of April. Having directed it last night, I was called up this morning before 4 o'clock. It was full light, enough to dress myself, and so by water against tide, it being a little cool, to Greenwich, and thence, only that it was somewhat foggy till the sun got to some height, walked with great pleasure to Woolwich, in my way staying several times to listen to the nightingales. I did much business, both at the rope yard, and the other, and one float. I discovered a plain cheat, which in time I shall publish, of Mr. Ackworth's. Thence, having visited Mr. Faulkner also, who lies still sick but hopes to be better, I walked to Greenwich, Mr. Dean with me. Much good discourse, and I think him a very just man, only a little conceited, but yet very able in his way. And so he by water with me also to town, I home, and immediately dressing myself, by coach with my wife to my Lord Sandwich's. But they, having dined, we would not light, but went to Mistress Turner's, and there got something to eat, and thence, after reading part of a good play, Mistress Theophila, my wife and I in their coach, to Hyde Park, where great plenty of gallants, and pleasant it was, only for the dust. Here I saw Mistress Bendy, my Lady Spillman's fair daughter that was, who continues yet very handsome. Many others I saw with great content. And so back again to Mistress Turner's, and then took a coach and home. I did also carry them into St. James's Park, and showed them the garden. To my office a while supper was making ready, and so home to supper and to bed. The 23rd of April. Coronation Day. Up, and after doing something at my office, and it being a holiday, no sitting likely to be, I down by water to Sir William Warren's, who hath been ill, and there talked long with him. Good discourse, especially about Sir William Batten's knaveries, and his son Castle's ill language of me behind my back, saying that I favour my fellow traitors. But I shall be even with him. So home, and to the Change, where I met with Mr. Coventry, who himself is now full of talk of a Dutch war, for it seems the Lords have concurred in the Commons' vote about it, and so the next week it will be presented to the King. Insomuch that he doth desire we would look about to see what stores we lack, and buy what we can. Home to dinner, where I and my wife, much troubled about my money that is in my Lord Sandwich's hand, for fear of his going to sea and be killed. But I will get what of it out I can. All the afternoon, not being well, at my office, and there did much business, my thoughts still running upon a war, and my money. At night, home to supper and to bed. The 24th of April. Lord's Day. Up, and all the morning in my chamber, setting some of my private papers in order, for I perceive that now public business takes up so much of my time, that I must get time a Sundays or at nights to look after my own matters. Dined and spent all the afternoon talking with my wife. At night, a little to the office, and so home to supper and to bed. the 25th of April. Up and with Sir William Penn by coach to St. James's, and there up to the Duke, and after he was ready to his closet, where most of our talk about a Dutch war, and discoursing of things indeed now for it. The Duke, which gives me great good hope, doth talk of setting up a good discipline in the fleet. In the Duke's chamber there is a bird, given him by Mr. Pierce the surgeon, comes from the East Indies. Black the greatest part, with the finest collar of white about the neck, but talks many things, and neighs like the horse and other things, the best almost that ever I heard bird in my life. Thence down with Mr. Coventry and Sir William Ryder, who was there, going along with us from the East India House today, to discourse of my Lord Peterborough's accounts, and then walked over the park and in Mr. Cutler's coach with him and Ryder as far as the Strand. And thence I walked to my Lord Sandwich's, where, by agreement, I met my wife, and there dined with the young ladies. My lady, being not well, kept her chamber. Much simple discourse at table among the young ladies. After dinner, walked in the garden, talking with Mr. Moore about my lord's business. He told me my lord runs in debt every day more and more, and takes little care how to come out of it. He counted to me how my lord pays use now for above £9,000, which is a sad thing, especially considering the probability of his going to sea in great danger of his life, and his children, many of them, to provide for. Thence, the young ladies going out to visit, I took my wife by coach out through the city, discoursing how to spend the afternoon, and conquered, with much ado, a desire of going to a play. But I took her out at Whitechapel and to Bethnal Green, so to Hackney, where I have not been many a year since a little child I boarded there. Thence to Kingsland by my nurse's house, Goody Lawrence, where my brother Tom and I was kept when young. Then to Newington Green, and saw the outside of Mistress Herbert's house, where she lived, and my Aunt Ellen with her. But, Lord, how in every point I find myself to overvalue things when a child. Thence to Islington, and so to St. John's, to the Red Bull, and there saw the latter part of a rude prize fight, but with good pleasure enough. And thence back to Islington, and at the King's Head, where Pitts lived, we light and ate and drunk for remembrance of the old house sake. And so through Kingsland again, and so to Bishopsgate, and so home with great pleasure. The country mighty pleasant, and we, with great content, home, and after supper to bed. Only a little troubled at the young ladies leaving my wife so today, and from some passages fearing my lady might be offended. But I hope the best. The 26th of April. Up and to my Lord Sandwich's, and coming a little too early, I went and saw William Joyce, and by comes in Antony, they both owning a great deal of kindness received from me in their late business. And indeed I did what I could, and yet less I could not well do. It hath cost the poor man above £40, besides he is likely to lose his debt. Thence to my lord's, and by he comes down, and with him, Creed with us, I rode in his coach to St. James's, talking about William Joyce's business. My lord, Mary, and my lady Peters, he says, is a drunken jade, he himself having seen her drunk in the lobby of their house. I went up with him to the Duke, where methought the Duke did not show him any so great fondness as he was wont, and methought my lord was not pleased that I should see the Duke made no more of him, not that I know anything of any unkindness, but I think verily he is not as he was with him in his esteem. By and by the Duke went out, and we with him through the park, and there I left him going into Whitehall, and Creed and I walked round the park, a pleasant walk, observing the birds, which is very pleasant, and so walked to the New Exchange, and there had a most delicate dish of curds and cream, and discourse with the good woman of the house, a discreet, well-bred woman, and a place of great delight. I shall make it now and then to go thither. Thence up, and after a turn or two in the change, home to the Old Exchange by coach, where, great news and true, I saw by written letters, of strange fires seen at Amsterdam in the air, and not only there, but in other places thereabouts. The talk of a Dutch war is not so hot, but yet I fear it will come to it at last. So home and to the office, where we sat late. My wife gone this afternoon to the burial of my she-cousin Scott, a good woman. And it is a sad consideration how the Pepys's decay, and nobody almost that I know in a present way of increasing them. At night, late at my office, and so home to my wife to supper and bed. The 27th of April. Up and all the morning very busy with multitude of clients, till my head begin to be overloaded. Toward noon I took coach and to the Parliament House's door, and there stayed the rising of the House, and with Sir George Carteret and Mr. Coventry, discoursed of some tar that I've been endeavouring to buy, for the market begins apace to rise upon us, and I should be glad first to serve the King well, and next, if I could, I find myself now begin to cast how to get a penny myself. Home by coach with Alderman Backwell in his coach, whose opinion is that the Dutch will not give over that business without putting us to some trouble to set out a fleet, and then, if they see we go on well, will seek to salve up the matter. Upon the change, busy, thence home to dinner, and thence to the office, till my head was ready to burst with business, and so with my wife by coach. I sent her to my Lady Sandwich, and myself to my cousin Roger Pepys's chamber, and there he did advise me about our exchequer business, and also about my brother John. He is put by my father upon interceding for him, but I will not yet seem the least to pardon him, nor can I in my heart. However, he and I did talk how to get a mandamus for a fellowship, which I will endeavour. Thence to my lady's, and in my way met Mr. Zanchy of Cambridge, whom I have not met a great while. He seems a simple fellow, and tells me their master, Dr. Rainbow, is newly made Bishop of Carlisle. To my lady's, and she not being well, did not see her, but straight home with my wife and late to my office, concluding in the business of Wood's masts, which I've now done, and I believe taken more pains in it than ever any principal officer in this world ever did in anything to no profit to this day. So weary, sleepy, and hungry, home and to bed. This day the Houses attended the King, and delivered their votes to him upon the business of the Dutch, and he thanks them and promises an answer in writing. The 28th of April. Up and close at my office all the morning. To the change, busy, at noon, and so home to dinner, and then I to the afternoon at the office till night, and so late home, quite tired with business, and without joy in myself, otherwise than that I am, by God's grace, enabled to go through it, and one day hope to have benefit by it. So home to supper and to bed. The 29th of April. Up betimes, and with Sir William Ryder and Cutler to Whitehall. Ryder and I to St. James, and there with Mr. Coventry did proceed strictly upon some fooleries of Mr. Povey's in my Lord Peterborough's accounts, which will touch him home. And I am glad of it, for he is the most troublesome, impertinent man that ever I met with. Thence to the change, and there, after some business, home to dinner, where Llewellyn and Mount came to me and dined. And after dinner, my wife and I by coach to see my Lady Sandwich, where we find all the children and my lord removed, and the house so melancholy that I thought my lady had been dead, knowing that she was not well. But it seems she hath the measles, and, I fear, the smallpox, poor lady. It grieves me mightily, for it will be a sad hour to that family should she miscarry. Then straight home and to the office, and in the evening comes Mr. Hill the merchant, and another with him that sings well, and we sung some things, and good music it seemed to me, only my mind too full of business to have much pleasure in it. But I will have more of it. They gone, and I having paid Mr. Moxon for the work he hath done for the office upon the King's Globes, I to my office, where very late, busy upon Captain Taylor's bills for his masts, which I think will never be off of my hand. Home to supper and to bed. the 30th of April. Up and all the morning at the office. At noon to the Change, where, after business done, Sir William Ryder and Cutler took me to the Old James, and there did give me a good dish of mackerel, the first I have seen this year very good, and good discourse. After dinner we fell to business about their contract for tar, in which, and in another business of Sir William Ryder's canvas, wherein I got him to contract with me, I hold them to some terms, against their wills, to the King's advantage, which I believe they will take notice of to my credit. Thence home and by water by a galley down to Woolwich, and there a good while with Mr. Pett upon the new ship, discoursing and learning of him. Thence with Mr. Dean to see Mr. Faulkner, and there find him in a way to be well. So to the water, after much discourse with great content with Mr. Dean, and home late, and so to the office. Wrote to my father, among other things, my continued displeasure against my brother John, so that I will give him nothing more out of my own purse, which will trouble the poor man, but however it is fit I should take notice of my brother's ill carriage to me. Then home until 12 at night about my monthly accounts, wherein I have just kept within compass, this having been a spending month. So, my people being all abed, I put myself to bed very sleepy. All the news now is what will become of the Dutch business, whether war or peace. We all seem to desire it, as thinking ourselves to have advantages at present over them, but for my part I dread it. The Parliament promises to assist the King with lives and fortunes, and he receives it with thanks, and promises to demand satisfaction of the Dutch. My poor Lady Sandwich is fallen sick 3 days since of the measles. My Lord Digby's business is hushed up, and nothing made of it, he gone and the discourse quite ended. Never more quiet in my family all days of my life than now, there being only my wife and I, and Bess and the little girl Susan, the best wenches to our content that we can ever expect. May 1664. The first. Lord's Day. Lay long in bed, went not to church, but stayed at home to examine my last night's accounts, which I find right, and that I am £908 creditor in the world, the same I was last month. Dined, and after dinner, down by water with my wife and Bess with great pleasure, as low as Greenwich, and so back again, playing as it were leisurely upon the water to Deptford, where I landed, and sent my wife up higher, to land below Halfway House. I to the King's Yard, and there spoke about several businesses with the officers, and so with Mr. Waif, consulting about canvas, to Halfway House where my wife was. And after eating there we broke and walked home before quite dark. So to supper, prayers, and to bed. The 2nd of May. Lay pretty long in bed, so up and by water to St. James, and there attended the Duke with Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis. And having done our work with him, walked to Westminster Hall, and after walking there and talking of business, met Mr. Rawlinson, and by coach to the Change, where I did some business, and home to dinner, and presently by coach to the King's Playhouse to see the Labyrinth. But coming too soon, walked to my Lord's to hear how my lady doth, who is pretty well, at least past all fear. There, by Captain Ferrers, meeting with an opportunity of my Lord's coach, to carry us to the park anon, we directed it to come to the playhouse door, and so we walked, my wife and I and Mademoiselle. I paid for her going in, and there saw the Labyrinth, the poorest play, methinks, that ever I saw, there being nothing in it but the odd accidents that fell out by a lady's being bred up in man's apparel and a man in a woman's. Here was Mistress Stuart, who is indeed very pretty, but not like my Lady Castlemaine for all that. Thence in the coach to the park, where no pleasure, there being much dust, little company, and one of horses almost spoiled by falling down and getting his legs over the pole, but all mended presently, and after riding up and down, home, set Mademoiselle at home, and we home and to my office, whither comes Mr. Bland, and pays me the debt he acknowledged he owed me for my service in his business of the Tangier merchant. 20 pieces of new gold, a pleasant sight, it cheered my heart. And he, being gone, I home to supper and showed them her, and she, poor wretch, would fain have kept them to look on, without any other design but a simple love to them. But I thought it not convenient, and so took them into my own hand. So, after supper to bed. The 3rd of May. Up, and being ready, went by agreement to Mr. Bland's, and there drank my morning draught in good chocolate, and slabbering my band sent home for another. And so he and I by water to Whitehall, and walked to St. James, where met Creed, and Venati, and by and by Sir William Ryder. And so to Mr. Coventry's chamber, and there upon my Lord Peterborough's accounts, where I endeavoured to show the folly, and punish it as much as I could, of Mr. Povey. For of all the men in the world, I never knew any man of his degree so great a coxcomb in such employments. I see I have lost him for ever, but I value it not, for he is a coxcomb, and I doubt not over-honest by some things which I see. And yet for all his folly, he hath the good luck now and then to speak his follies in so good words, and with as good a show, as if it were reason and to the purpose, which is really one of the wonders of my life. Thence walked to Westminster Hall, and there in the Lord's House did, in a great crowd, from 10 o'clock till almost 3, hear the cause of Mr. Roberts, my Lord Privy Seal's son, against Wynne, who by false ways did get the father of Mr. Roberts' wife, Mr. Broadville, to give him the estate and disinherit his daughter. The cause was managed for my Lord Privy Seal by Finch, the solicitor, but I do really think that he is truly a man of as great eloquence as ever I heard, or ever hope to hear in all my life. Thence, after long staying to speak with my Lord Sandwich, at last he coming out to me and speaking with me about business of my Lord Peterborough, I by coach home to the office, where all the afternoon. Only stepped home to eat one bit, and to the office again, having eaten nothing before today. My wife abroad with my Aunt White and Norbury. I in the evening to my Uncle White's, and not finding them come home, they being gone to the park, and the mulberry garden, I went to the change, and there meeting with Mr. Hempson, whom Sir William Batten hath lately turned out of his place, merely because of his coming to me when he came to town before he went to him, and there he told me many rogueries of Sir William Batten, how he knows and is able to prove that Captain Cox of Chatham did give him £10 in gold to get him to certify for him at the King's coming in, and that Tom Newborn did make poor men give him £3 to get Sir William Batten to cause them to be entered in the yard, and that Sir William Batten hath oftentimes said, "By God, Tom, you shall get something, and I will have some on't." His present clerk that is come in Norman's room hath given him something for his place, that they live high, and as Sir Francis Clark's lady told his wife, do lack money as well as other people, and have bribes of a piece of satin and cabinets, and other things from people that deal with him, and that hardly anybody goes to see, or hath anything done by Sir William Batten, but it comes with a bribe, and that this is publicly true, that his wife was a whore, and that he had libels flung within his doors for a cuckold as soon as he was married, that he received £100 in money, and in other things, to the value of 50 more of Hempson, and that he intends to give him back but £50. That he hath abused the chest, and hath now some £1,000 by him of it. I met also upon the change with Mr. Cutler, and he told me how for certain Lawson hath proclaimed war again with Algier, though they had at his first coming given back the ships which they had taken, and all their men, though they refused afterward to make him restitution for the goods which they had taken out of them. Thence to my Uncle White's, and he not being at home, I went with Mr. Norbury near hand to the Fleece, a mum house in Leadenhall, and there drank mum, and by broke up, it being about 11 o'clock at night. And so, leaving them also at home, went home myself and to bed. The 4th of May. Up, and my new tailor, Langford, comes and takes measure of me, for a new black cloth suit and cloak, and I think he will prove a very careful fellow, and will please me well. Thence to attend my Lord Peterborough in bed, and give him an account of yesterday's proceeding with Povey. I perceive I labour in a business will bring me little pleasure, but no matter, I shall do the King some service. To my Lord's lodgings, where, during my lady's sickness, he is. There spoke with him about the same business. Back and by water to my cousin Scott's. There condoled with him the loss of my cousin his wife, and talked about his matters as attorney to my father in his administering to my brother Tom. He tells me we are like to receive some shame about the business of his bastard with Jack Noble. But no matter, so it costs us no money. Thence to the coffee-house, and to the change a while, news uncertain how the Dutch proceed. Some say for, some say against a war. The plague increases at Amsterdam. So home to dinner, and after dinner to my office, where, very late, till my eyes, which begin to fail me nowadays by candlelight, begin to trouble me. Only in the afternoon comes Mr. Peter Honeywood to see me, and gave me 20 shillings, his and his friend's allowance for my brother John, which, God forgive my pride, methinks I think myself too high to take of him, but it is an ungrateful point of pride in me, which God forgive. Home at night to supper and to bed. The 5th of May. Up betimes to my office, busy, and so abroad to change some plate for my father, to send today by the carrier to Brampton. But I observe and do fear it may be to my wrong that I change spoons of my Uncle Robert's into new, and set a P upon them, that thereby I cannot claim them hereafter, as it was my brother Tom's practice. However, the matter of this is not great, and so I did it. So to the change, and meeting Sir William Warren with him to a tavern, and there talked, as we used to do, of the evils the King suffers in our ordering of business in the Navy, as Sir William Batten now forces us by his knavery. So home to dinner, and to the office, where all the afternoon, and thence betimes home, my eyes beginning every day to grow less and less able to bear with long reading or writing, though it be by daylight, which I never observed till now. So home to my wife, and after supper to bed. The 6th of May. This morning up and to my office, where Simpson, my joiner, came to work upon altering my closet, which I alter by setting the door in another place, and several other things to my great content. Busy at it all day, only in the afternoon home, and there, my books at the office being out of order, wrote letters and other businesses. So at night, with my head full of the business of my closet, home to bed. And strange it is to think how building doth fill my mind, and put out all other things out of my thoughts. The 7th of May. Betimes at my office with the joiners, and giving order for other things about it. By and by we sat all the morning, at noon to dinner, and after dinner comes Dean of Woolwich, and I spent, as I had appointed, all the afternoon with him, about instructions which he gives me to understand the building of a ship, and I think I shall soon understand it. In the evening a little to my office to see how my work goes forward there, and then home and spent the evening also with Mr. Dean, and had a good supper, and then he to bed, he lying at my house. The 8th of May, Lord's Day. This day my new tailor, Mr. Langford, brought me home a new black cloth suit and cloak, lined with silk moire. And he being gone, who pleases me very well with his work, and I hope will use me pretty well, then Dean and I to my chamber, and there we repeated my yesterday's lesson about ships all the morning, and I hope I shall soon understand it. At noon to dinner, and strange how in discourse he cries up chemistry, from some talk he hath had with an acquaintance of his, a chemist, when, poor man, he understands not one word of it. But I discern very well that it is only his good nature. But in this of building of ships he hath taken great pains, more than most builders, I believe, have. After dinner he went away, and my wife and I to church, and after church to Sir William Penn, and there sat and talked with him. And the perfidious rogue seems, as he doth always, mightily civil to us, though I know he hates and envies us. So home to supper, prayers and to bed. The 9th of May. Up and to my office all the morning, and there saw several things done in my work, to my great content. And at noon, home to dinner, and after dinner in Sir William Penn's coach, he set my wife and I down at the New Exchange, and after buying something, we walked to my Lady Sandwich, who, good lady, is now, thanks be to God, so well as to sit up and send to us, if we were not afeard to come to her. So we did, but she was mightily against my wife's coming so near her, though, poor wretch, she is as well as ever she was as to the measles, and nothing can I see upon her face. There we sat talking with her above 3 hours, till 6 o'clock, of several things with great pleasure. And so away, and home by coach, buying several things for my wife in our way home. And so, after looking what had been done in my office today with good content, home to supper and to bed. But strange how I cannot get anything to take place in my mind while my work lasts at my office. This day my wife and I, in our way to Paternoster Row to buy things, called upon Mr. Holyard to advise upon her drying up her issue in her leg, which inclines of itself to dry up, and he admits of it that it should be dried up. The 10th of May. Up and at my office, looking after my workmen all the morning, and after the office was done, did the same at night, and so home to supper and to bed. The 11th of May. Up and all day, both forenoon and afternoon, at my office, to see it finished by the joiner, and washed, and everything in order. And indeed, now my closet is very convenient and pleasant for me. My Uncle White came to me to my office this afternoon, to speak with me about Mr. Mace's business again, and from me went to my house to see my wife. And strange to think that my wife should by and by send for me after he was gone, to tell me that he should begin discourse of her want of children, and his also, and how he thought it would be best for him and her to have one between them, and he would give her £500 either in money or jewel beforehand, and make the child his heir. He commended her body, and discoursed that for all he knew the thing was lawful. She says she did give him a very warm answer, such as he did not excuse himself by saying that he said this in jest, but told her that since he saw what her mind was, he would say no more to her of it, and desired her to make no words of it. It seemed he did say all this in a kind of counterfeit laugh, but by all words that passed, which I cannot now so well set down, it is plain to me that he was in good earnest, and that I fear all his kindness is but only his lust to her. What to think of it of a sudden I know not, but I think not to take notice yet of it to him till I have thought better of it. So, with my mind and head a little troubled, I received a letter from Mr. Coventry about a mast for the Duke's yacht, which, with other business, makes me resolve to go betimes to Woolwich tomorrow. So to supper and to bed. The 12th of May. Up by 4 o'clock and by water to Woolwich, where did some business and walked to Greenwich. Good discourse with Dean, best part of the way. There met by appointment Commissioner Pett, and with him to Deptford, where also did some business. And so home to my office, and at noon Mistress Hunt and her cousin, child, and maid came and dined with me, my wife sick of those in bed. I was troubled at it, but, however, could not help it, but attended them, till after dinner, and then to the office, and there sat all the afternoon, and by a letter to me this afternoon from Mr. Coventry, I see the first appearance of a war with Holland. So home and betimes to bed, because of rising tomorrow. The 13th of May. Up before 3 o'clock, and a little after upon the water, it being very light as at noon, and a bright sun rising. But by and by a rainbow appeared, the first that ever in a morning I saw, and then it fell a-raining a little, but held up again. and I to Woolwich, where before all the men came to work, I with Mr. Dean spent 2 hours upon the new ship, informing myself in the names and natures of many parts of her, to my great content, and so back again without doing anything else. And after shifting myself, away to Westminster, looking after Mr. Mays's business and others. In the painted chamber I heard a fine conference between the sum of the two houses, upon the bill for conventicles. The lords would be freed from having their houses searched by any but the Lord Lieutenant of the county, and upon being found guilty, to be tried only by their peers. And thirdly would have it added that whereas the bill says that that among other things shall be a conventicle, wherein any such meeting is found doing anything contrary to the liturgy of the Church of England, they would have it added, or practice. The Commons to the Lords said that they knew not what might hereafter be found out, which might be called the practice of the Church of England, for there are many things may be said to be the practice of the Church, which were never established by any law, either common, statute, or canon, as singing of psalms, binding up prayers at the end of the Bible, and prayings extempore before and after sermon. And though these are things indifferent, yet things for aught they at present know may be started which may be said to be the practice of the Church, which would not be fit to allow. For the Lord's privileges, Mr. Waller told them how tender their predecessors had been of the privileges of the Lord's. But, however, where the peace of the kingdom stands in competition with them, they apprehend those privileges must give place. He told them that he thought if they should own all to be the privileges of the Lord's, which might be demanded, they should be led like the man who granted leave to his neighbour to pull off his horse's tail, meaning that he could not do it at once, that hare by hare had his horse's tail pulled off indeed. So the Commons, by granting one thing after another, might be so served by the Lords. Mr. Vaughan, whom I could not, to my grief, perfectly hear, did say, if that they should be obliged in this manner to exempt the Lords from everything, it would in time come to pass that whatever be it, never so great, that should be voted by the Commons as a thing penal for a commoner, the contrary should be thought a privilege to the Lords. That also in this business, the work of a conventicle being but the work of an hour, the cause of a search would be over before a Lord Lieutenant, who may be many miles off, can be sent for. And that all this dispute is but about £100, for it is said in the Act that it shall be banishment or payment of £100. I thereupon heard the Duke of Lennox say there might be lords who could not always be ready to lose £100, or some such thing. They broke up without coming to any end in it. There was also in the Commons House a great quarrel about Mr. Prynne, and it was believed that he should have been sent to the Tower for adding something to a bill, after it was ordered to be engrossed, of his own head. A bill for measures for wine, and other things of that sort, and a bill of his own bringing in. But it appeared he could not mean any hurt in it. But, however, the King was fain to write in his behalf, and all was passed over. But it is worth my remembrance that I saw old Riley the herald and his son, and spoke to his son, who told me in very bad words concerning Mr. Prynne, that the King had given him an office of keeping the records, but that he never comes thither, nor had been there these 6 months, so that I perceive they expect to get his employment from him. Thus everybody is liable to be envied and supplanted. At noon over to the Leg, where Sir George Askew, Sir Robert Parkhurst and Sir William Penn dined. A good dinner and merry. Thence to Whitehall, walking up and down a great while, but the council not meeting soon enough, I went homeward, calling upon my cousin Roger Pepys, with whom I talked, and heard so much from him of his desire that I would see my brother's debts paid, and things still of that nature, tending to my parting with what I get with pain, to serve others' expenses, that I was cruelly vexed. Thence to Sir Robert Bernard, and there heard something of Pigott's delay of paying our money, that also vexed me mightily. So home, and there met with a letter from my cousin Scott, which tells me that he is resolved to meddle no more with our business of administering for my father, which altogether makes me almost distracted to think of the trouble that I am like to meet with by other folk's business more than ever I hope to have by my own. So with great trouble of mind to bed. The 14th of May. Sick. Up full of pain, I believe by cold got yesterday. To the office where we sat, and after office, home to dinner, being in extraordinary pain. After dinner, my pain increasing, I was forced to go to bed, and by and by my pain riz to be as great for an hour or two as ever I remember it was in any fit of the stone, both in the lower part of my belly and in my back also. No wind could I break. I took a glister, but it brought away but a little, and my height of pain followed it. At last, after 2 hours lying thus in most extraordinary anguish, crying and roaring, I know not whether it was my great sweating that made me do it, but upon getting by chance among other tumblings, upon my knees in bed, my pain began to grow less, and so continued less and less, till in an hour after I was in very little pain, but could break no wind nor make any water, and so continued and slept well all night. The 15th of May, Lord's Day. Rose, and as I had intended without reference to this pain, took physic, and it wrought well with me. My wife lying from me to-night, the first time she did in the same house ever since we were married, I think, unless while my father was in town that he lay with me. She took physic also to-day, and both of our physics wrought well, so we passed our time to-day, our physic having done working, with some pleasure talking. But I was not well, for I could make no water yet but a drop or two with great pain, nor break any wind. In the evening came Mr. Venatti to see me and discourse about my Lord Peterborough's business, and also my Uncle White and Norbury. But I took no notice nor showed any different countenance to my Uncle White, or he to me, for all that he carried himself so basely to my wife the last week. But will take time to make my use of it, so, being exceeding hot, to bed and slept well. The 16th of May. Forced to rise because of going to the Duke to St. James, where we did our usual business, and thence by invitation to Mr. Pierce's, the surgeon, where I saw his wife, whom I had not seen in many months before. She holds her complexion still, but in everything else, even in this her new house and the best rooms in it and her closet, which her husband with some vain glory took me to show me, she continues the veriest slattern that ever I knew in my life. By and by, we to see an experiment of killing a dog by letting opium into his hind leg. He and Dr. Clark did fail mightily in hitting the vein, and in effect did not do the business after many trials, but with the little they got in, the dog did presently fall asleep, and so lay till we cut him up. And a little dog also, which they put it down his throat. He also staggered first, and then fell asleep, and so continued. Whether he recovered or no after I was gone, I know not, but it is a strange and sudden effect. Thence walked to Westminster Hall, where the King was expected to come to prorogue the House, but it seems, afterward I hear, he did not come. I promised to go again to Mr. Pierce's, but my pain grew so great, besides a bruise I got today in my right testicle, which now vexes me as much as the other, that I was mighty melancholy, and so by coach home, and there took another glister, but find little good by it, but by sitting still, my pain of my bruise went away, and so after supper to bed, my wife and I having talked and concluded, upon sending my father an offer of having Paul come to us, to be with us for her preferment, if by any means I can get her a husband here, which, though it be some trouble to us, yet it will be better than to have her stay there till nobody will have her, and then be flung upon my hands. The 17th of May. Slept well all night and lay long, then rose and wrote my letter to my father about Paul, as we had resolved last night. So to dinner and then to the office, finding myself better than I was, and making a little water, but not yet breaking any great stir of wind, which I wonder at, for I cannot be well till I do it. After office, home, and to supper, and with good ease to bed. and endeavoured to tie my hands that I might not lay them out of bed, by which I believe I have got cold, but I could not endure it. The 18th of May. Up and within all the morning, being willing to keep as much as I could within doors, but receiving a very wakening letter from Mr. Coventry about fitting of ships, which speak something like to be done. I went forth to the office there to take order in things, and after dinner to Whitehall to a committee of Tangier, but did little. So home again, and to Sir William Penn, who, among other things of haste in this new order for ships, is ordered to be gone presently to Portsmouth to look after the work there. I stayed to discourse with him, and so home to supper, whereupon a fine couple of pigeons, a good supper. And here I met a pretty cabinet sent me by Mr. Shales, which I gave my wife, the first of that sort of goods I ever had yet, and very conveniently it comes for her closet. Stayed up late finding out the private boxes, but could not do some of them, and so to bed, afeard that I have been too bold today in venturing in the cold. This day I begin to drink buttermilk and whey, and I hope to find great good by it. The 19th of May. Up, it being very rainy weather, which makes it cooler than it was, by coach to Charing Cross with Sir William Penn, who is going to Portsmouth this day, and left him going to St. James's to take leave of the Duke, and I to Whitehall to a committee of Tangier, where, God forgive, how our report of my Lord Peterborough's account was read over and agreed to by the Lords without one of their understanding it. And had it been what it would, it had gone, and besides not one thing touching the King's profit in it minded or hit upon. Thence by coach home again, and all the morning at the office sat, and all the afternoon till 9 at night, being fallen again to business, and I hope my health will give me leave to follow it. So home to supper and to bed, finding myself pretty well, a pretty good stool, which I impute to my way today, and break wind also. The 20th of May. Up and to my office, whither by and by comes Mr. Chumley, and staying till the rest of the company came, he told me how Mr. Edward Montagu is turned out of the court, not return again. His fault, I perceive, was his pride, and most of all his affecting to seem great with the Queen, and it seems, indeed, had more of her ear than everybody else, and would be with her talking alone 2 or 3 hours together. Insomuch that the Lords about the King, when he would be jesting with them about their wives, would tell the King that he must have a care of his wife too, for she now hath the gallant. And they say the King himself did once ask Montagu how his mistress, meaning the Queen, did. He grew so proud and despised everybody, besides suffering nobody, he or she, to get or do anything about the Queen, that they all laboured to do him a good turn. They also say that he did give some affront to the Duke of Monmouth, which the King himself did speak to him of. But strange it is that this man should, from the greatest negligence in the world, come to be the miracle of attendance, so as to take all offices from everybody, either men or women, about the Queen, insomuch that he was observed as a miracle. But that which is the worst, that which in a wise manner performed would turn to his greatest advantage, was by being so observed employed to his greatest wrong, the world concluding that there must be something more than ordinary to cause him to do thus. So he is gone, nobody pitying but laughing at him, and he pretends only that he is gone to his father, that is sick in the country. By and by comes Povey, Creed, and Venati, and so to their accounts, wherein more trouble and vexation with Povey. That being done, I sent them going, and myself fell to business, till dinner. So home to dinner, very pleasant. In the afternoon to my office, where busy again, and by came a letter from my father, so full of trouble for discontents there between my mother and servants, and such troubles to my father from hence, from Cave, that hath my brother's bastard, that I know not what in the world to do. But with great trouble, it growing night, spent some time walking, and putting care as much as I could out of my head, with my wife in the garden. And so home to supper, and to bed. the 21st of May. Up called by Mr. Chumley, and walked with him in the garden till others came to another committee of Tangier, as we did meet as we used to do, to see more of Povey's folly, and so broke up and at the office sat all the morning, Mr. Coventry with us, and very hot we are getting out some ships. At noon to the change, and there did some business, and thence home to dinner, and so abroad with my wife by coach to the new exchange, and there laid out almost 40 shillings upon her, and so called to see my Lady Sandwich, whom we found in her dining-room, which joyed us mightily, but she looks very thin, poor woman, being mightily broke. She told us that Mr. Montagu is to return to court, as she hears, which I wonder at and do hardly believe. So home, and to my office, where late, and so home to supper and to bed. The 22nd of May, Lord's Day. Up and by water to Whitehall, to my lord's lodgings, and with him walked to Whitehall without any great discourse, nor do I find that he doth mind business at all. Here the Duke of York called me to him to ask whether I did intend to go with him to Chatham or no. I told him if he commanded, but I did believe there would be business here for me. And so he told me, then it would be better to stay, which I suppose he will take better than if I had been forward to go. Thence, after staying and seeing the throng of people to attend the king to chapel, but, Lord, what a company of sad, idle people they are! I walked to St. James with Colonel Reams, where stayed a good while, and then walked to Whitehall with Mr. Coventry, talking about business. So, meeting Creed, took him with me home and to dinner, a good dinner, and thence by water to Woolwich, where mighty kindly received by Mistress Falconer and her husband, who is now pretty well again, this being the first time I ever carried my wife thither. I walked to the dock, where I met Mistress Ackworth alone at home, and God forgive me, what thoughts I had! But I had not the courage to stay, but went to Mr. Pett's, and walked up and down the yard with him and Dean, talking about the dispatch of the ships now in haste. And by and by Creed and my wife and a friend of Mr. Faulkner's came with the boat, and called me, and so by water to Deptford, where I landed, and after talking with others, walked to Halfway House with Mr. Waith, talking about the business of his supplying us with canvas, and he told me in discourse several instances of Sir William Batten's cheats. So to Halfway House, whither my wife and them were gone before, and after drinking there, we walked and by water home, sending Creed and the other with the boat home. Then I wrote a letter to Mr. Coventry, and so a good supper of peas, the first I ate this year, and so to bed. The 23rd of May. Up and to the office, where Sir John Minnis, Sir William Batten, and myself met and did business, we being in a mighty hurry. The King is gone down with the Duke and a great crew this morning by break of day to Chatham. Toward noon, I and my wife by water to Woolwich, leaving my wife at Mr. Faulkner's, and Mr. Hayter and I with some officers of the yard on board to see several ships, how ready they are. Then to Mr. Faulkner's to a good dinner, having myself carried them a vessel of sturgeon and a lamprey pie. And then to the yard again, and, among other things, did at Mr. Ackworth's obtain a demonstration of his being a knave. But I did not discover it till it be a little more seasonable. So back to the rope yard, and took my wife and Mr. Hayter back, it raining mighty hard of a sudden, but we, with the tilt, kept ourselves dry. So to Deptford, did something there, but, Lord, to see how in both places the King's business, if ever it should come to a war, is likely to be done, there not being a man that looks or speaks like a man that will take pains or use any forecast to serve the King, at which I'm heartily troubled. So home, it raining terribly, but we still dry. And at the office late, discoursing with Sir John Minnis and William Batten, who, like a couple of sots, receive all I say but to little purpose. So late home to supper and to bed. The 24th of May. up into the office where Sir John Minnis and I sat all the morning, and after dinner thither again, and after dinner all the afternoon hard at the office till night, and so tired, home to supper and to bed. This day I heard that my Uncle Fenner is dead, which makes me a little sad, to see with what speed a great many of my friends are gone, and more, I fear for my father's sake, are going. The 25th of May. Took physic betimes, and to sleep, then up, it working all the morning. At noon dined, and in the afternoon in my chamber, spending 2 or 3 hours to look over some unpleasant letters and things of trouble, to answer my father in about Tom's business, and others that vexed me. But I did go through it, and by that means eased my mind very much. This afternoon also came Tom and Charles Pepys by my sending for, and received of me £40, in part toward their £70 legacy of my uncle's. Spent the evening talking with my wife, and so to bed. The 26th of May. Up to the office, where we sat, and I had some high words with Sir William Batten about canvas, wherein I opposed him and all his experience about seams in the middle, and the profit of having many breadths and narrow, which I opposed to good purpose to the rejecting of the whole business. At noon, home to dinner, and thence took my wife by coach, and she to my Lady Sandwich to see her. I, to Tom Trice, to discourse about my father's giving over his administratorship to my brother, and thence to Sir Robert Bernard, and there received £19 in money, and took up my father's bond of £21, that is, £40 in part of Pigott's £209 due to us, which £40 he pays for 7 roods of meadow in Portholme. Thence to my wife, and carried her to the Old Bailey, and there we were led to the Quest House by the church, where all the kindred were by themselves at the burial of my Uncle Fenner. But, Lord, what a pitiful rout of people there was of them! But very good service, and great company the whole was. And so anon to church, and a good sermon, and so home, having for ease put my £19 into William Joyce's hand, where I left it. So to supper and to bed, being in a little pain from some cold got last night, lying without anything upon my feet. The 27th of May. Up, not without some pain by cold, which makes me mighty melancholy to think of the ill state of my health. To the office, where busy till my brain's ready to break with variety of business, and vexed for all that to see the service like to suffer by other people's neglect. Vexed also at a letter from my father, with 2 troublesome ones enclosed from Cave and Noble, so that I know not what to do therein. At home to dinner at noon. But to comfort my heart, Captain Taylor this day brought me £20 he promised me for my assistance to him about his masts. After dinner to the office again, and thence with Mr. Waith to St. Catherine's, to see some variety of canvases, which indeed was worth my seeing. But only I was in some pain, and so took not the delight I should otherwise have done. So home to the office, and there busy till late at night, and so home to supper and to bed. This morning my tailor brought me a very tall maid to be my cook-maid. She asked £5, but my wife offered her but £3 10 shillings. Whether she will take it or no, I know not till tomorrow, but I am afeard she will be over high for us, she having last been a chambermaid, and holds up her head, as my little girl Sue observed. The 28th of May. Up. Pretty well as to pain and wind. And to the office, where we sat close, and did much business. At noon, I to the change, and thence to Mr. Cutler's, where I heard Sir William Ryder was, where I found them at dinner, and dined with them, he having yesterday, and today, a fit of a pain like the gout, the first time he ever had it. A good dinner. Good discourse, Sir William Ryder especially much fearing the issue of a Dutch war, wherein I very highly commend him. thence home, and at the office a while, and then home with Mr. Dean to a second lesson upon my shipwrightery, wherein I go on with great pleasure. He being gone, I to the office late, and so home to supper and bed. But, Lord, to see how my very going to the change, and being without my gown presently, brought me wind and pain, till I came home and was well again, that I am come to such a pass that I shall not know what to do with myself. But I am apt to think that it is only my legs that I take cold in, from my having so long worn a gown constantly.